I've always read myself to sleep. And for the past 2 weeks, I have been reading a book called Our Better Angels by Steven Pinker. Tonight, before the dream, I had read a chapter on the rise of empathy during the Enlightenment, and how the rise of the novel, particularly British epistolary novels like Clarissa and Pamela, may have played a role in decreasing violence and cruelty by helping us to experience the world from another's viewpoint. I turned out the lights about midnight, and a few hours later I awoke from my nightmare about Alice. After calming myself, I returned to bed, but lie awake for a long time, thinking how remarkable it was that this primeval abscess, this sealed pocket of guilt now 73 years old, has suddenly burst. In my waking life, I recall now, I had indeed bicycled past Alice's house as a 12-year-old, calling out, "Hey, measles," in some brutish, painfully unempathic effort to get her attention. Her father had never confronted me. But as I lie here in bed at age 85, recovering from this nightmare, I can imagine how it must have felt to her, and the damage I might have done. Forgive me, Alice. Chapter 2. Searching for a Mentor. Michael, a 65-year-old physicist, is my last patient of the day. I saw him for therapy 20 years ago, for about 2 years, and I had not heard from him since until a few days ago, when he emailed to say, "I need to see you. This attached article has ignited a lot of things, both good and bad." The link led to an article in the New York Times describing how he had recently won a major international science prize. As he takes his seat in my office, I am the first to speak. "Michael, I got your note saying you needed help. I'm sorry you're distressed, but I also want to say it's good to see you and wonderful to learn of your award. I've often wondered how you've been doing." "Thank you for saying that." Michael looks around the office. He is wiry, alert, nearly bald, about 6 feet tall, and his gleaming brown eyes radiate competence and confidence. "You've redone your office? These chairs used to be over there, right?"
"Yep, I redecorate every quarter century."
He chuckles.
"Well, you saw the article?"
I nod.
"You can probably guess what happened to me next. A flush of pride, all too brief, and then wave after wave of anxious self-doubting. Same old stuff. Deep down, I'm shallow.
Let's go right into it." We spend the rest of the session reviewing old material. His uneducated Irish immigrant parents, his life in the New York tenements, his poor primary education, the lack of any significant mentor. He spoke at length of how much he envied people who were taken in hand and nourished by an elder, whereas he had to work endlessly and get the absolute highest grades simply to be noticed. He had had to create himself.
"Yes," I say, "creating yourself is a source of great pride, but it also leads to a feeling of having no foundations. I've known many gifted children of immigrants who have a sense of being lilies growing in a swamp. Beautiful flowers, but no deep roots." He remembers my saying this to him years ago, and says he's glad to be reminded of it. We make plans to meet again for a couple of sessions, and he tells me he feels better already. I had always worked well with Michael. We connected from our very first meeting, and he had told me at points that he felt I was the only one who truly understood him. In our first year of therapy, he talked a lot about his confused identity. Was he really this sterling student who left everyone behind? Or was he the bum who spent his spare time in the pool room or shooting crap? Once, while he lamented his confused identity, I told him a story about my graduation from Roosevelt High School in Washington, D.C. On the one hand, I had been notified that I would be receiving the Roosevelt High School Citizenship Award at graduation. Yet in my senior year, I had been conducting a small bookie venture handling bets on baseball. I was giving 10-to-1 odds that any 3 selected players on a given day would not get 6 hits between them. The odds were in my favor. I had been doing famously well and always had money to buy gardenia corsages for Marilyn Koenig, my steady girlfriend. However, a few days before graduation, I lost my bookie notebook. Where was it?